Accession number 2008, sorry, 2008, real one.
Dennis Wybo, real one. Can you tell me when and where you were born, please?
I was born at Stock in 1922, 21st of May 1922.
And what did your father do for a living?
He was a thrashing engine. He was had a thrashing gang, you know, steam engines, and of course he was exempt in the First World War, but he had four brothers what went to war in the First World War.
Did they all come back?
One of them was a regular soldier. He was younger Walter, the youngest of the family, and he went in with the old contemptibles, and he's buried in Stock Churchyard. He come back, he's suffering from shell shock, and he died. I don't know when he died, but he had a military funeral and was buried in Stock Churchyard.
And what about the other brothers?
The other brothers come back. One was in the tank corps. He was in machine gun corps, and then got transferred to the tanks. He got blown out the old Mark Fives, what they had with the tracks all around the side, and he had a silver plate in his ankle and shrapnel all up his back, and he carried it for his life. They didn't take it out, the shrapnel, because he had a bad back. He come back and worked. He never got a pension at all, because he walked without a stick. He went before the board, and when he had the plate put in his ankle, I mean, he was limp, and he walked with a stick, and then he went, they reviewed that every time. And he went back there, and of course he could walk without a stick, and they cancelled his pension. As then, he had this back trouble, and he went to Chelmsford Hospital and saw the specialist there, who thought they'd give him some radio treatment in them days. That's, well, about 40 years ago, I suppose. And when they x-rayed him to do it, they said they couldn't do it because he got the shrapnel all up his back. So he had to put up with the rest of his life. Yeah.
And where did you live at that time?
In Gullywood then. I lived in Gullywood, up the village, the old village, up by the Eagle Public House. In an old village house there. That's still there, actually. It's a lot bigger than the one we've got.
So what was the village like then in the...
Well, the village, we knew everybody in the village. I mean, that was all, this estate and all the other estates were all fields, you know. And as youngsters, it was, you made your own entertainment, like was when you had 6 weeks holiday, you more or less roamed round the fields until you got old enough to do a bit of harvesting or something, you know.
What was your education like?
I was educated at Chelmsford. We used to walk to Chelmsford to school. I was a Roman Catholic, and we had to walk to school one way. They paid the fares one way, so it was walk about three miles. We had to walk to school, 3.5 miles. We walked one way. We often used to spend a penny. I think it was a penny journey. We always probably spend it on sweets or something, and walk both ways, you know. Of course, that was an education, because in those days, when we walked home, we'd come up Wood Street, and there'd be all the tramps going into the union, the workhouse. they used to go into the workhouse before the war. I mean, the workhouse was on our way home, and we used to pass all these tramps waiting to go in for the night. It's funny, ain't it? The things what you recall when you're young. Of course, as I got older, when I was 14, I left school and I went to work for a butcher in Chelsea. And I was talking to the mates, and they were older than me, and they said, you know, I used to knock about with them, and they were in the territorial sessions. They said, go on, put your age on, you'll get in. So this was about 1937, I think it was about autumn 1937. So to be with my mates, I went up there and they asked me my age, and I put my age on, and so yeah, you can get in. I was only 15 then, and in 1938 I went to the first camp with them, that's the Essex Fortress Engineers, at Watchet in Somerset. And while we was down there, you know, with these old-fashioned searchlights and hand locators and all that, and the guns along the seafront were firing at queen bees. Now, it was fantastic. 15-year-old boy, they were putting these planes up, radio control, and, you know, it was fantastic. It was, after being in the country like we were, you know, it was fantastic seeing all these things going on.
And what was the role of the unit?
Huh?
What was the role of the unit?
Searchlight. We were searchlights, see? And, when we come back from the camp, you know, and got going, and then I think it was that was September, the Munich crisis, I can't remember. Or was that October?
Doesn't matter.
I don't know. That was when Chamberlain went to Munich, and they called all the anti-aircraft units up, and we was called up, and we went down to Rabness near Harwich, where they got underground storage depot for the naval depth charges and such stuff as that. I think there was an island somewhere near there where they filled all these things, and they had these light railways, you know, to bring them out from under the side of the River Stour, what they dug in. And these railways took them down to the Harwich, to the naval boats. And I suppose we was about a week before they stood us down and we'd come back home.
And what were you doing? What was your role?
We didn't have searchlights there. All we had was Lewis guns mounted on railway sleepers. As that act. It seems ridiculous now, but that's what it was.
What type of training had you got with the TA?
Well, we done our basic training. We fired, we went to Purfleet on the ranges and fired rifles and such stuff as that. We done basic drills. We used to go out on sites with a searchlight and perhaps come up on Gullywood Common and set up a searchlight and do the drills.
Can you remember the drill? Searchlight drill?
Oh, I can remember when they used to have spotting there in spotting chairs with binoculars, and they used to be given orders up right and all this and that if they spotted the aircraft. And of course the same was done with these small hand sound locators. And I used to work on the sound locator. I used to be on one arm of the sound locator. There was three operators on it. And when they concentrated as a sound, there was one up and one round, and when they concentrated the sound, the third man would give directions to the operator on the searchlight.
And would they send aircraft up for you to...
Well, when we... We hadn't had no aircraft in 1938, but in 1939 they called us up for another month's training, and we went over to a site near Dunmo, near Stansted Airport, actually, Molehill Green, and they sent aircraft up then, and we was more or less. Had to be about June time, I suppose. That'd be about 11 o'clock or 12 o'clock at night. They'd have this plane flying around. And we used to laugh because it's a pub up the road, you see. The youngsters used to get in the pub and come back there pretty merry. And we used to laugh about it. And afterwards, say, the part of the plane was trying to get in the beam. And, Yeah, we'd done a month there. After that month, I decided to join the regular army.
Before that, you mentioned that you'd done basic drill. What was your reaction to doing that?
The old drill, you know, the 14-18 drill, that was Form 4, Form to Deep. Rifle drill, you know, present arms and all such stuff as that, and we done the basic drill down in the drill hall, and of course we used to do 2-2 firing down there, and then we used to have to fire, I forget what they called it there, before you could get your bounty. You had fire on the range. We used to get perforate ranges to fire them at.
What was your bounty?
Oh, I can't. That was what you got after you'd been to camp. You had to do so many drills. And was it fortnight's camp? I think it was fortnight's camp. Before you could get your bounty, you know, you had to do a certain amount of drills to fire your... Oh, I don't forget what it was. They had a name for it. Anyway, you had to fire a required amount of rounds on the range and do so many drills in the fortnight's camp before you could get your bounty. That was so much a year. Well, that was a lot of money to us in them days.
How did you take to the rifle drill? How did you take to the rifle drill?
Oh, yeah, we did a rifle drill on that. Yeah, we used to do rifle drill, bayonet practice and all that sort of stuff, yeah.
What did you do with the bayonet practice?
Well, I used to just, you know, present and, they used to show you how to use a bayonet on the rifle, and the old 18-inch bayonets they were on them days.
Did you have to scream?
No, well, I don't think there was a lot of that done in the drill. No. I think that was more or less when they got them outside, you know, they would do after, you know, if they got called up and went into camp. But I'd never done any bayonet drill in camp. The boys... Now, all the village boys, the majority of them, what were of military age, like myself, or anything, they all joined the Territorial Army.
Did you have any particular mates at that time?
Yes, I had one chap who I went to school with. He stayed in them, Bernard Chilvers. He stayed in the searchlights, the REs. And he, as a matter of fact, when I come back after the war, about 6 months after the war, I was working in Hoffman's in Chelmsford. And he should walk in and on the next machine of mine, start work with Bernard Chilvers. And I've been to school with him, been in territories. But apart from that, he went out. They transferred him to the Royal Artillery. And he went out to the Middle East and got captured in Africa. He finished up in, notorious prison camp, what the Russians released. Can't think of the name. It's just trouble. Anyway, the Russians released him and they marched him right back to the Black Sea. And he said they treated him worse than what the Germans did.
Is there anybody else you were friendly with?
There was a lot, but I've never seen any of them since. You know, they after the war, they all seemed to disperse.
And how often did you meet for training?
Once a week. Once a week they used to do the 2 hours training. And sometimes that lasted longer if you went out to the site. You got to do so many hours training.
Did you train on anything else? Did you train on Lewis guns?
Yes, we trained on Lewis guns, we did, the old Lewis gun. I never fired one, not a Lewis gun. That's a funny thing to say, I never fired it. But that's what we had, the Lewis guns were sight protection, you see. And we used to have them on tripod, like, up in case we were attacked.
So how many men were to each searchlight?
I've got a picture up there of a whole crew. And I can't think of how many ones, about 10, I should say. Of course, you had a bloke on the generator and all that. Yeah. I've got a little picture of when I was in there. Only one of that, yeah.
And were you was there an officer in charge of you?
No, a sergeant is in charge, but the officers used to come round daily or more or less.
And where were the officers from?
Well, they come from Chelmsford around, they were territorial officers and all. Well, we was on that month's train, and then they got these automatic, if I remember, we went to headquarters where they got one of these new sound locators, which instead of shouting orders to the searchlight, when third man held a kind of a spike together, and as you went up and got the elevation and direction on, and he held the spike together and that operated the searchlight without the searchlight operator being on the arm and the handle. That was, getting semi-automatic then. Of course, they were a lot bigger than the little hand one. But I never operated one operational because they only had that one, I think, as prototype.
Did you have any vehicles?
Oh, yeah, we used to have vehicles. And can't think of what they were. They're big old vehicles, we used to. They're probably Leyland or something like that, I should say. A fairly heavy truck. But other than that, just for transport and searchlights, other than that, there wasn't much. Yeah, really.
So, how long did you stay with the Territorials?
Well, from 1937 till August 1939.
And what happened in August 1939?
I then went into the regular army and transferred to the regular army for 6 and 6.
So, how did you go about doing that?
Well, I went to the recruiting office and you more or less sit and examine. If you're okay, you were transferred, you had a medical and a written exam. And you went into the unit you wanted to go in. And I went for the mechanised cavalry. So When I was past OK, I was sent up to Catterick Camp in Yorkshire, the 51st Training Regiment, Light Tanks.
And what kind of reception did you get with the unit?
Oh dear, dear. When I went to the guard room, I reported to the guard room, and they had a duty trumpeter, you know what, Danny, he said, take this bloke up to the cookhouse and get him some tea, because I've been travelling all that. So the duty trumpeter said, in words of a language, he said, when we was halfway up there, he said, if I was you, mate, I'd bugger off now, he said. So I didn't anyway. I went up to the cookhouse and thought they'd give me bacon and eggs, and then I went to the squadron office and went through the paraphernalia, you know.
What did that consist of?
Well, I had another medical, and you know, they allocated me to a squad. Uniform, went and got a uniform, the old service dress, you know, the 14-18 service dress, bandoliers and old leathery gear, you know. And from there, I think I went to the barber's for a haircut. Well, they went just over it, you know. It was short back sides and on top of all, you know, and then you was more or less like a convict, and then you had a shower, and then you was taken to your barrack room, and that was more or less it, until the squad sergeant called you for the next day and start training. Of course, then we done our training like on the square, and they talk about the day, but there used to be a big hill up the end of the square. So then if he wasn't satisfied with what you'd done, he'd double you up this hill and back down, or halfway up and back down, and all this and that, you know, until you were right exhausted, more or less. And they'd double you everywhere they went, everywhere you went. And I think the main thing was to see who the governor would discipline, really, was the main thing.
How did you take to the drill?
Well, I didn't like it. I didn't mind the drill itself, but I didn't like, you know, they used to have whims. If somebody's done something wrong, of course the whole squad used to go for it. And then gradually, when he sorted out the good from the bad, as they say, and the chaff from the wheat, he'd know all the names. He knew all your names, and he used to call them out and tell them off, and make them double round the square with the rifle above their head or something like that, you know, and it was all. And of course, then you had you had to go to PT about twice a day. Of course, I reckon that you was weighed in, see your weight, and they reckoned that you'd lose weight, but you'd put more weight on by the end of the course, they said. Of course, there was all the up the ropes and over the beams and over the horse and that. Of course, if you're not used to it, we wasn't used to it. I mean, they used to be standing there on this horse, you know, whacking great horse. And if you didn't really go at full speed and reach out for the end of the horse, you'd finish up half, three parts of the way across, you know, and it used to. And a PTI bloke was there, get that and pull you off, you know, and go round again. Oh, actually, these things sound horrendous, but once you get used to them, you can do it. That's the thing that was frightening, really. And then they used to take us, well, I mean, that was winter time we was up there. They used to take us out on the moors for these runs, you know. PT kit.
What was your PT kit?
Well, that was just vest and pants and plimsolls, you know. And it's the middle of winter out on the Yorkshire moors. Of course, you couldn't stand still. You'd freeze. And there was these PTI blokes with these red and white pullovers and long black trousers on there, yeah, chivying you up behind, you know, get up there. Oh dear. Of course, they were super fit blokes, so that was their job, wasn't it? We used to go down the back. And then if we got back to the, you see, there was a time for all the, all the things you went through. We got to do gunnery, wireless, driving, and everything. At certain times of the day, you had to be at certain spots, a whole lot of us. And if you was a bit late from PT changing, of course that meant you got to double up to the next one. Because